Just as I was, as we were worshiping earlier, I could see Phil standing up here with a little one on just on his chest, and the little one sleeping, and we've just heard him snoring, just ever so beautifully. And I just got a sense, just as your little one is really comfortable, just on your chest and up front and in this space, I just got a sense that God was saying that this is a safe place this morning, and that whatever goes on, whatever happens, whatever God's got to say, then actually it's a safe place. And in the same way that Phil's son can just rest on his chest whilst all is going on, I just get a sense that God is saying, you know, you're able to be safe and just rest in this place this morning. And so can I pray that just to start, if that's okay? And Father, we just really welcome you here. God, we know that you, by your presence, are here anyway. But Lord God, I thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to reside within us and to minister amongst us. And so God, in this space, I just pray that you have your way this morning, that you meet with us, that you speak to us, and that we leave different from where we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, bless you. So I understand that you're starting a new series this morning on preparation to Pentecost, which is a great, great time and a great season and a great topic. I absolutely love the Holy Spirit. I love God the Father. I love Jesus the Son. And I love the Holy Spirit. And John has asked me to speak on the Holy Spirit and about his personhood, and also developing a deep relationship, a daily relationship with him as you start this series. So my name's Anita, as Phil has already introduced, and my husband Ian here, and we pastor the church in Loughborough, Elim Loughborough, and we bring a big welcome from them to this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, you might want to turn to John chapter 16. And this is where Jesus is telling the disciples that he's going. Okay, there's going to come a time where he is leaving. And I'll read it in a second, but can you imagine that they have grown to love this man? They have grown to spend time with him. I don't know about you, but if I had Jesus living in my home and, you know, spending 24/7 with Jesus, I'd be pretty upset if he turned around and said, I'm off, you know, I'm going. But here we have Jesus, and he is speaking, and he's talking to them about the work of the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to read just a few verses to you from John chapter 16, starting at verse 5. And Jesus is saying, "But now I am going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you." I get that. I get why they're grieving, you know. And then he says, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't go, the advocate won't come. And if I do go away, then I will send him to you." And then a few verses later, in verse 13, it says this: "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." So Jesus is really clear there that actually for him to go is better. It's better because he will then send the advocate. He will send the Holy Spirit to reside in us. And if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we accept him as our Lord and Savior in our lives, then it says that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. He lives within us. When the scripture says he lives within our hearts. And so I'm going to just talk to you for a few moments about what that means, you know, who this Holy Spirit is. And have you ever wondered who he is? You know, like, what does he look like? What is it like? You know, is it an invisible power? Is it a feeling? Is it something only for the super spiritual or the people with the mics? Or, you know, it's, or perhaps you think it's a bit wacky. It's a bit strange. It's a bit, I'm not quite sure I like that. And I get that. But the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential in my understanding. And the Holy Spirit is not just a New Testament phenomenon, and we'll see that as we go through in a few moments. He's not a feeling. He's not an emotion. But the Holy Spirit is... We're going to look at who the Holy Spirit is this afternoon, or this morning. Sorry, our church meets in the afternoon, so I get it wrong sometimes. So I'll be shooting off to go to our church this afternoon. But we're going to look this morning at what the Holy Spirit is, who he is, why he's essential, and then probably more importantly is how do we build this relationship with him. And so that's what we're going to do this morning for a few moments. So I want to say to you that the Holy Spirit is a divine person, not a power. Now we speak of the power of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit in and of himself is a person. It's and if we look at, you know, what's a person? The definition would say this: a person is a distinct being with a mind, with thoughts, with will, with emotions, who's capable of having relationships, is capable of choices and moral responsibilities. And the Bible is really clear that the Holy Spirit evidences all of those aspects. He has intellect. He knows and he understands. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He has a will. It says that he chooses and he distributes spiritual gifts. We see that in 1 Corinthians 12 as well. And he has an emotion. He can be grieved, but he also brings joy. And so there's an emotion there involved and a capacity within that with the Holy Spirit. He is able to have actions. So he guides and he teaches and he prays for us. We see that in John 16 and Romans chapter 8. And he has this incredible ability to be relational. He has this capacity for relationship. You know, in Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 7, it talks about where he fellowships with us. And that's a relationship where we communion. One of the versions says he communions. So the Holy Spirit isn't just electrical power or, you know, this surge or this feel or this emotion, but actually he is a person in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is God. He is one of the Trinity, one of the three in that Godhead. He has a person of his own who guides, who teaches, who prays for us, who comforts us. And it really matters that we get that, because the Holy Spirit isn't just an add-on. You know, he's not something, oh, well, if you fancy a bit of the Spirit, then you can add that on. He's not. He's an integral part of the Godhead. And we'll see how important that is to us. He's co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and with the Son. And that is so important that we get that. He's part of the Trinity. One God, three persons. And I love him in John chapter 14, where it talks about that he is called another helper. So we see that again in John chapter 16. Jesus says, I'll send you an advocate. Some versions say a helper. He mentions it in John 14 just previous. And I love, if you look at that, if you look at another, the Greek word is allos, which means another of the same kind. So he's sending another. That means he's sending someone like me. You know, someone who's like me, just like Jesus. And then the helper, if you look at the word helper, is parakletos. And if you look at para in Greek, it means close beside. And if you look at kaleo, which makes up the two parakletos, it means make a call. So you put them together, and the Greek of that, this another helper that Jesus is sending, is an advocate who can make right judgments, who can make a call because they're close to the situation at hand. In other words, the Holy Spirit gets it. Why does he get it? Because he's God. So why is Jesus saying it's better for you to go? Because the Holy Spirit has this incredible innate ability to be in all places at once. Whereas Jesus, because he was in human form, could only be in the place that he was at that time. And so the Holy Spirit is able to be this incredible person who is all places at all time. So who is he? He lives in us. He was there right at the beginning. One of my favorite verses is Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, where it says, the Spirit was brooding over the waters. This is before the earth is made. This is when it says it's formless and the darkness covers the earth. The Holy Spirit is there brooding. And you know, if you're brooding, you're sort of like, you're pondering. You're sort of like thinking, I can almost see like the fingers going. You're like, ooh, what can we do here? And I believe that's what like the Holy Spirit is like. And imagine that he's here now and he's brooding over us. He's like, oh. I was talking to Mary. I knew Mary's mum from a church we pastored in South Wales. And, you know, Mary's in a time in life and wondering what's going next. And Mary are just saying, oh, the Holy Spirit's like, oh, here's a woman who's after me, who's seeking after me. And I think, oh, what can I do with her? And, you know, like the Holy Spirit just brooding over you, Mary, for the next part of your life. But he also is right through in the very last verses of Revelation 22, where it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So we see the Holy Spirit right at the beginning, and we see him right at the end, and then we see him interwoven through the whole story of Scripture, the biblical part. So who is he? He's the God, the Spirit living in us. He's our helper, our counselor, our friend sent by Jesus. He's the Spirit of truth guiding us in wisdom. He brings power and revelation to us. He is creating, empowering us. He's guiding and leading and giving us wisdom. He's revealing and he's transforming us. Isn't that amazing? I just love that. In summary then, the Holy Spirit is not a feeling or an energy. You know, sometimes we hear spirituality and they talk about energy. Listen, I get energy when the Holy Spirit is in me, and there's power when he's in me. But that's not his innate being. He's a divine person. He is part of the Godhead, part of that incredible Trinity, equal to Father and Son, working in perfect unity and relates to us personally. And I love that. So why do we have the Holy Spirit? We have this Holy Spirit living within us, and he causes us to become more like him. He enables us to live in a way of God. He shows us different ways. He shows us in Romans chapter 8, it talks about how he comes with the Spirit of truth and to live God's way and to overcome or to resist sin. Have you ever been in that situation? You're about to do something and there's this little nudge. You know, it can be as basic as not going back to the nuts or the chocolate. If you know that that's something that you're working on with God. Or it can be, you know, like don't put your hand in the till. You know, it's those nudges, or, you know, don't say that lie. It's those nudges. That's the Holy Spirit that helps us overcome whatever is in our flesh, perhaps, to do. He's there to guide us and to teach us. I love that. we have a personal trainer in God. Isn't that amazing? You know, when we come to the Word of God, you know, I'd encourage you that wherever you come to it, so I could say, Holy Spirit, open this up to me. Open these words up. Help me understand what you are saying. He helps us grow in godly character. And I know that Pastor John is going to talk to you about the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, but that is key to us, that the Holy Spirit encourages us in those ways. And when we're one with him, when we're communion, when we're intimate with him, then actually those little nudges cause us to be kind. They cause us not to walk past the stranger. They cause us to give to the poor. He causes us to you know, phone our friend when they're on our mind and send a word of encouragement. They cause us to go and buy the bag of shopping and leave it on the doorstep. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's how we outwork some of those gifts and fruits of the Spirit in our lives. He reminds us that we're God's child. He reminds us who we are in him. And he lives and he dwells within us. John 14:17 says this: he dwells with and in believers. So if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not an option. The Spirit of God is in you. He's in your life. He's at work within you. But the important thing is that we recognize that and we partner with it and ask him, Lord, what are you doing? What are you saying? Where are you going? Where are you moving? He leads us and he assures us of who we are. And he helps us cultivate this beautiful relationship with God that leads us, like it says in Galatians 4, to know God as our Abba, Father. Not just, you know, Father, but Abba, which in that Hebrew is a very intimate word. It's like Papa, it's like Daddy. You know, in our kids, they still call, one's 24, one's 21, and still they call Ian Daddy. You know, it's just what they do. And, you know, it's like we can have God the Father, who's our Daddy, in that most incredible way. That doesn't mean he stops being sovereign. And he stops being creator. And he stops being, you know, the Lord of all and all of those things. But it actually enables us to have that intimate relationship with him. So why does it matter that we know the Spirit and we know that he is a person and he's at work in us? Why does that matter? It's because he is loving us and leading us and guiding us and speaking to us and communicating with us. It's because he's alive. It's because I can remember when I was saved when I was 16, properly, I would say. I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 8. But I really did something with that when I was 16. Brought up in quite a traditional church, and there was nothing wrong with that. But I went away to university, and I realized that these guys had something I didn't have. You know, that I knew the verses. I'd done my Bible scripture, and, you know, and I knew the memory verses, and I knew a lot about God. And I had made a personal decision for him. I wanted him in my life. But it felt like they had another level. It's felt as if they had access to the front room. I knew where the house was, and I, you know, I could knock and I could, you know, the people that you knock on them and you stay at the front door. And there's other people you just walk in and, you know, you walk in the back door and you sit down and you make yourself a cup of tea. And I felt like they had that sort of relationship with God, whereas I could get to the front door and probably not much further. And long and short, I realized that actually there was more to this relationship than head knowledge. I loved Jesus, but I didn't have that intimacy. I didn't have access in the back door, or at least I felt I didn't. And then I went to this church. It was a Baptist church in Buckinghamshire, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I realized that's what was different about my friends, is that they'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit. I had the Holy Spirit at work with me. But there was another baptism, which sometimes happens at conversion and sometimes happens later on. And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's like as if I went from here to here. You know, suddenly life looked brighter. Suddenly there was this more relational, dynamic, not mechanical relationship with God that felt more real. And I can remember thinking beforehand, I thought, there must be more than this. There must be more than this. And there was. It was that connection with the Spirit that I didn't quite get when I first became a Christian. You see, the Holy Spirit enables us to have Spirit-led discipleship, being sons and daughters, being intimate with Father. It's almost like it's the heart of the matter. And it's the heartbeat of God. That's what I felt it was. It felt as if it brought life to me. You know, and Jesus, God talks about, you know, the breath of the Almighty, where he breathes life into you. Well, that's what the Spirit feels like, is that he breathes life into you. Anybody need a bit of life in them this morning? He said, you know, the Holy Spirit is there to breathe life into us, breathe life into the Word, so it's not a load of dry words, but it becomes life. It's like, that's what the Spirit means. That's what this verse means. I get it now. Thank you. Thank you, because the Holy Spirit reveals that. So his role and his power in our lives is simple. It's that he helps us net to know God and Jesus more. He helps us understand his Word. He glorifies God through our lives. You see, when I know when the Spirit is working through me. I can sense it. I can feel it. I will say things. I think, my goodness, what did that come from? You know, it's his power at work within us, because we just spend time with him, and it glorifies God. It glorifies him. He dwells with us continually. I thank God he doesn't come or go. You know, sometimes in life people come and go. He doesn't come and go. He is with us 24/7. And he makes such a difference in our lives. And you know, there's so many people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. One of the first people, I love this. The first people that it talks about in the Bible that is filled with the Spirit. Anybody know? Sorry? Moses and the 70, no, they were the second lot. But the first one is in Exodus 31. Let me read this verse to you, because this is about a man called Bezalel. And he's in that long list. You know, there are bits of the scripture that feel a bit boring, but go through them and say, God, what's the exciting bit in this? What's the sparkle in this long list of things where he's building the tabernacle? And here you find this mention of this man called Bezalel. And let me tell you who he is. He's an artisan. He's a tradesperson. He designs and he creates. He's a craftsman. And this is the verse. It says in Exodus 31, and it's between verse 1 and 5, but it says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and all kinds of skills. Why did he do that? He was a craftsman, an artisan, building the temple. Let me tell you why he did it. Because his role was to design and build the house of God. That's why God filled him with his Spirit, so that he could make this holy, intricate, worshipful, beautiful space that God's Spirit would dwell in. That is something. And you know, one of the greatest things it tells you, because I can tell you about Moses and the 70 and Samson who was filled with the Spirit and had victory over his enemies. And Moses and the 70 were filled with the Spirit and they had leadership qualities. And David, who was filled and he had this prophetic insight. And Mary was filled and she had this miraculous conception. And the disciples were filled and they were with the Spirit and they had bold preaching. And they had miracles and they were bold witnesses. And Paul was filled with the Spirit and he had apostolic mission and strategy given to him. There's a reason why God filled him with the Spirit, and all of them are amazing. But Bezalel, this ordinary bloke, not a king, not a prophet, not a big flyer or a big name in the world's eyes, but an ordinary craftsman, artisan, I know, a tradesperson who God wanted to bring out the best in, to make this holy, beautiful space to hold his presence. And do you know why I love that story? It's because I'm no king or queen. I'm no big name. And as far as I know, I'm not sure where you guys are at, but I guess we're talking to ordinary people who've got extraordinary callings. because we're all ministers of his word. And every single one of us, whether we will be the PA to the prime minister or the prime minister himself, or you are called to build something, it doesn't matter, to teach, to be, whatever your calling is, we need the Holy Spirit to do our very, very best and to bring out the best in us. And that's a huge takeaway. I mean, who of us, you know, it's all very lovely being here on a Sunday, but you're going to go somewhere. Maybe you're on shift this afternoon. Maybe you're going to work tomorrow. Maybe you're going to school, university, whatever that looks like. You know, who needs leadership skills tomorrow? Who needs help to design tomorrow? Who needs prophetic insight tomorrow? Who needs strength over the enemy tomorrow? Who needs some clarity or some revelation tomorrow? I do. I can remember Ian coming home from work one day, and he said, "You'll never guess what happened today." And that they were building this building, and it had Ian's a builder, had a complicated roofing system, and they couldn't quite, him and the architect, something changed and they hit a snag. And between them, they're trying to work out how this slots together. And neither him nor the architect and all these, you know, people with letters after their names couldn't work out it was a complicated situation. And he said, "I sat on the roof and I prayed and I said, 'God, you are a carpenter. Jesus, you are a carpenter. If anyone knows how to do this, you do.'" And he said that suddenly this, it's like as if he got the solution to the situation. And he just felt it was a God thing. And that's the Holy Spirit at work in us. Bezalel needed that. As much as David, as much as Samson, as much as Moses, as much as Paul, as much as the disciples, they needed the Holy Spirit at work in them. I can remember when I was in social services and being sitting at these meetings and thinking, we'd come to a stalemate in a situation, a problem, a circumstance. How on earth are we going to do this? What needs to happen? And I can remember I used to sit there and I'm thinking, "My God, I need you. If you are living in me, what does this look like on a day-to-day basis?" And I can remember umpteen times just having this thought and like almost bringing it to the table. Well, what if we try this? What about do? And suddenly it all makes sense. And people would say, "Oh, yeah. That just seems to work. Do you think that works, James? What do you reckon?" You know, he's pondering. You never know what's going on. But we need that infilling of the Holy Spirit. And ordinary people, you and me, and the kings, the priests, the prophets amongst us, whoever you might be. You know, we all need that Holy Spirit. Jesus, of course, was the perfect model of the Holy Spirit, a spirit-filled life. You know, it says that, you know, even in that womb place, you know, that God was there. He was full of the Holy Spirit throughout his ministry. He came into he was in the desert and he came out of the desert full of the Holy Spirit. He went into ministry full of the Holy Spirit. He depended completely on God, and Jesus needed that Spirit in his life to enlighten him and do well. He fills us and he comes and brings us that joy. So think about some of those names: the helper, the comforter, the guide, the teacher, the revealer, the transformer. That's what the Holy Spirit does, helps us to know Jesus better, empowers us to make good decisions. So then I come to closing, and in a moment the team are going to come and lead us in some worship. But the important thing is that we develop a relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. And developing a daily relationship with him is really crucial. You know, when we come to the Word, many of us will be faithful to read in the Word, but actually, do we sit and ask the Holy Spirit before we come and say, "Holy Spirit, would you show me the truth here? Would you help me understand?" And I guess one of the crucial things, and Benny Hinn wrote a book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And it's a great book. If you haven't read it, I'd recommend it. That actually the importance of just coming to Father God right at the outset of our day and saying, Lord God, whatever you've got for me, would you just reveal that to me right now? Invite him in to your life on a daily basis. Ask him, God, would your presence go with me today? Would you speak? Would you bring wisdom and guidance and power to every circumstance and situation, to that meeting, to that relationship, to that conversation, to that work problem, to that, you know, that situation in school, to my learning, to my understanding? Holy Spirit, would you help me? And I say, when I'm disciplined in doing that, I tell you what, my day goes much better. When I've spent that time with God and invited the Holy Spirit just to say, be present in my day takes a different shape than the days that I don't. And I encourage you just to do that. I encourage you, listen to him. You know, sometimes we can be chatter, 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 chatter. And actually, the more we listen and hear his voice and the whisper that he brings. You know, Ian on the roof, God, you're the carpenter. You know, if anyone's going to know, you will. And then suddenly, plop, this key falls almost into his lap. Listen to him. And when he says something, I'd advise you do it. You know, if you want the easy option, then do what he says. Sometimes I've not done what he said and I've gone around it the long way and it's not been so great. But be sensitive to him. When he prompts, do it. Cultivate that intimacy, that time with him. Time with God is never wasted. I remember years ago, the kids were small and I used to listen to IHOP a lot. And there was this one song by Misty Edwards and it was something called The Garden. And it was like, I don't want to waste my time living from the outside. I want to live from the inside out. And she was talking about this garden that God was cultivating in her heart. And I thought, yeah, actually, I can waste a lot of time out there doing stuff. But time with God is never wasted. Time in that closet space, time weeding your garden in the inner man, the inside of us, is never wasted time. And I want to encourage you, cultivate your garden. Cultivate the spirit that's living in you, connection with him, inviting him in, asking him for his filling, for his gifts, asking him for the fruit in your life so that you become naturally supernatural. That's what the Spirit does. Because the Spirit is a force, a power at work within us. He's not just that, but he is an emotion. He has thoughts, he has choices. And for us to be naturally supernatural, we've all got friends and we've got family and people that we could just chat with. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit, that's what my relationship with the Holy Spirit is like. I chat with him. But I've also got some really good friends. There's one or two that I've just given permission to speak into my life. And when they see something that they think isn't right, they have the authority to speak that into me. A friend of mine spoke to me the other week. She said, how are you doing in that area, Anita? And I'm like, oh, we haven't talked about that for a while. And it made me step back and I think, yeah, how am I doing in that area? Well, I have a friend in the natural who does that, but I have a Holy Spirit that when I'm listening and I'm open to him, he does that and refines me. So that if I'm listening to him, I don't have to have the awkward pause with my friend. You know, it's like, well, because I'm already processing that with him. And that's precious. Listen, there's also the awkward pauses, but that's okay. You know, where we have a practical awareness. And I want to encourage you to do that. And just like Phil's little boy is just sitting safe with his dad right now, I believe that we're just going to just have some moments. We're going to sit safe with Jesus in his presence with Father, Jesus the Son, and his Holy Spirit. So perhaps the team just want to come up. And I want to guess, I just want to leave just a little bit of space, if that's okay, to firstly say, listen, if you've never invited Jesus into your heart, now is the best time to do that. Because when Jesus enters into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes too, and he resides within us. So, you know, if you are in that point, you've never made a decision for Jesus, then that would be a really good time. And the Holy Spirit gives us new life and gives us power and guidance and a relationship with God. But also the Holy Spirit, as we cultivate a relationship with him, makes such a difference to us. And think about, you know, like what's facing you when you go home? I've no idea. It might be a really great place. It might be tough. Might be lonely. Might be a bit confusing. Isn't it great that we got the Holy Spirit to go with us? And I totally get that verse now where Jesus said, it's better for you that I go. Because Jesus could only have gone, if he was here in the physical, he could only go home with one of us today. He could only be with one of us in work tomorrow. He can only be with one of us at school or university or wherever it is that your Monday to Saturday looks like, whatever fills your time, he can only be with one of us. But because Jesus is in heaven and God, by his grace, sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, he's with every single one of us. So I am confident that when we leave here, we are leaving here filled with him by our side. And when you get up tomorrow, you might ponder it a little bit, you never know, maybe this evening you think you'll remember something of what I've said. But my prayer is this, that the Holy Spirit will nudge you. Hey, do you remember that? And when you're facing a difficult conversation or a tricky relationship or, you know, a problem and, you know, within your programming, I've got not a clue with about that. Boy, I'd need the Holy Spirit to do anything like that. But where you do life and work, that's your ministry. Because God's called you into a job, that's your ministry. And that's not, you know, I hate this thing about secular and sacred divide. It's all sacred. Every single part of it is sacred, and we need the Holy Spirit. So if you need Jesus now, it's a good time to say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want you in my life. And Holy Spirit, come and live within me and help me and prompt me and guide me. But also, the Bible talks us about being continually filled. This isn't a once, it's not a one-hit wonder. You know, we all love the one-hit wonders where we feel a bit, you know, giddy and it's all lovely. But I need that when I'm going to go and have a difficult phone call. I need his presence. In fact, I need it more than in a nice, lovely meeting. This is a lovely meeting. The presence of God is here. His Spirit is amongst us. Maybe you want to close your eyes and you might know that this week there's some difficult stuff or there's some great stuff or there's a new project and there's a new opportunity. There's a strategy you need to write. You see, we value education. We value schooling and training and teaching, and that's a really good thing. All of that is really good, whether it's apprenticeship, vocational, degrees, postgrad, whatever that looks like. But sometimes we forget the valuable teaching that only the Holy Spirit can bring. That when the architect and the, you know, the master craftsman on the roof can't fix it, Jesus whispers. I thank God for in those difficult conversations, like, God, I haven't got the words for this. I haven't got the words for this. And he comes and he ministers his grace and mercy. That, my friends, is why we need the presence of God. So whatever your needs are, whether it's grace and mercy and love and peace and leadership, strategy, prophetic insight, revelation, strength, whatever your need is. You see, the Holy Spirit is our helper. And he filled these men and women with the Holy Spirit to do whatever they needed to do. So we're going to create some space just for a few moments, and I'll hand over to Phil and he can close when it's appropriate. But I'm going to pray this prayer, and I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you want, there's a whole row of empty seats, some with a few bags on. If you want me to pray with you, then please just come and sit here. I'll just come and pray with you. Listen, I've got what you've got. But if you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. But God can meet you where you are. But if one thing that I couldn't live without, and that's speaking in tongues. And if you don't speak in tongues and you would like to, then I'd love to pray for you this morning. All I'll do is I'll put my hand on your shoulder. I'll ask if you love Jesus. And then we'll just ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you with the gift of his presence. My prayer is that you would have that heavenly language, which is amazing. You know, in Romans 8, it talks about how when you don't have the words to say, he can bring the words through his spirit. Beautiful thing about speaking in tongues is it bypasses our mind and our emotions, and it's the purest form of communication we will have with Father God. So that's just those couple of things. So whatever it is, maybe you just put your hands out. And then we'll just wait on God. Holy Spirit. Beautiful Holy Spirit. Come and meet us. Come and fill us for a life of purpose. Come and fill us with your presence. Beautiful God, we welcome you. You're beautiful. Bring your peace, Lord, your presence. Just in these moments, Lord, I pray that you'd bring peace, your comfort, your hope, your joy. Just going to ask you, just as a team are playing, if you really want an infill of His presence, just put your hand up and I'm just going to pray, just a general prayer. Thank you. God, I just thank you that you see hungry hearts and you fill hungry people. Lord, I pray that they would know your goodness. Lord, we worship you. Lord, I pray that from this day in, you teach us to be naturally supernatural in you. We recognize who you are, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would have your way in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Just as a team, just lead us in worship. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to speak in tongues, then just come and sit here. Just come to the front and we'll pray for you, and then Phil will take over.